Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like it. All right, let's start with a word of prayer, shall we? Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day today. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your mercy in our lives. We thank you that we can come and worship you as a company of believers. We thank you we can open your word. We ask for your divine anointing. We ask that you would encourage our hearts. We pray that we would see Jesus Christ this morning. And Lord, we just commit this time into your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, it's good to be here. It's my privilege to open the Word of God with you. We want to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We're going to stay predominantly in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to share some things. We're going to talk about marriage. At first, I just want to give a little bit of a groundwork and foundation in light of the book of Ephesians, because Ephesians chapter 5 talks about marriage, and we're going to read that passage also. But the passage I want to read right now is Ephesians 4, verses 13 to 16. Get your Bibles out if you don't have one. If you don't have a Bible, grab one in the pew. See, if you don't have one, share with somebody. It's okay. If you use your phone, I think you're texting someone. Because I'm not of that generation. I'm of the generation. You got your Bible, you pull it out, you flip the pages. So if you want to do that, go ahead. If you use your phone, I'm just going to trust God you're reading along with us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now I'm reading from the King James. I hope that didn't throw you off. I've used this version for years. I love it. It's not the only version, but it's the one I'm used to. So what we're going to talk about is marriage, but before we get to that, we want to hone in a little bit here in light of what God has us involved with. And the book of Ephesians calls it a couple different things. It calls it the body of Christ. It calls it the church, the house of God, the household of God. God has brought us into something that we are to make contribution to. Because it says there, every joint supplies. Now we're going to talk about marriages, and that's what this whole thing this morning is going to be about. In no way does that exclude anyone in this building from the body of Christ and from the house of God. We need each person here, and you need us. Did you know that? We need the older generation, the younger generation, the children, the fathers, the mothers, the single people, the married people. Every one of us has a value. Now we have different roles and different responsibility God puts us in. And we're going to talk about the marriage, a little bit of what that is. But in no way do I want to eliminate and say everyone else is unnecessary. It's unscriptural. It's unneeded. We need every one of you, all of us, in this body of Christ, in this place where we fellowship. We are to supply this. And I want to talk about what this is just for a few minutes. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, it's all about what God has brought us into and what he has done for us. The last three chapters of Ephesians, which has to do with the marriage relationship, has to do with the practicality of how the church is to walk here upon the earth. Okay? So it's broke down in three chapters. Easy breakdown. But chapter 1 Go with me in chapter 1 real quick. It tells us what we have in Jesus Christ. If you have received Jesus Christ into your life, if you've asked him to come in, you have something. All right? And it says here in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." You know what we have? We have every spiritual blessing. I knew this would happen. Came off. All right. Can you still hear me? Good. Because I'm going to leave it off. I know I'm going to hit it again. So we see he's given us everything that we need. Every spiritual blessing. Now look what it says. In the heavenlies. Now I don't understand that, but I certainly do believe it. Did you know that? In Jesus Christ, he's given us that. Verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Try to explain that one. But I believe it. We are chosen in him, even before the foundation of the world. Okay? And then verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Everything in this first chapter has to do with the privilege and the place God has brought us to and brought us into in Jesus Christ. If you have received Jesus Christ, if he's in, you have all these. And then it says there, verse 6, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted. Did you know that each one of you here today are accepted? Doesn't matter where you're at, where you work, the kind of job you have, how you look or how you don't look. If you're married or not married, you are accepted in Jesus Christ. Is there anything greater than that? And then we see here in verse 7, in whom we have redemption. We have redemption in him. And then verse 11, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And it builds and it goes and it goes. And then we go down here to verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So Jesus Christ, because of our standing in him, he has given all of this to us. And he has ushered us and brought us into what he calls the body of Christ, the church. Now, just a little note on that. The Berean Fellowship, the Berean church here, is not the church. God's people are the church. We are here to what? Represent the church. To bring glory to what God has for us. As a fellowship, as a company of believers, as we meet together. God has brought us into that. And then chapter 2 tells us he has brought us into a fellowship. God wants to do something with a people. Now, look at this verse, chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has he quickened or made us alive together with Christ? For by grace you are saved. And hath raised us up, how? Together. And made us sit, how? Together. Where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God has brought us into a fellowship. And this fellowship is corporate. This fellowship has to do with all of us here. All of us. None of us are excluded. And he's brought us and ushered into this fellowship in heavenly places. Now, if you ask me how to explain that, I have some idea about that, but that's not the emphasis today. He's brought us somewhere, together. And not only that, okay, verse 7, look what it says, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward who? Us, through Christ Jesus. What a privilege it is to be associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the ages to come, our companionship, our fellowship is going to be with him. And that's why he's created us for himself. We have a very, very special place throughout eternity. And that is with the Lord. And then we go on. Okay? He has brought us into a family and a household. Verse 19, what's it say? Verses 19 to 22. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. There's a lot in these verses, but I just want to make an emphasis. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Now, it says that every joint supplies. That means each one of us has something to give to this fellowship. Each one of us does. No excuses, by the way. No excuses. When you stand before God, do you think your excuses are going to make a difference? Even if they're really good excuses. We accept people's excuses. But if God says, I want you involved, and you don't, no excuse in the world is going to help you. It won't stand up. He has brought us into a household and a fellowship. And this fellowship is a place of habitation. Isn't that what it says? And you are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Do you know what it says in the Word of God? The key thing that our desire is for here at the Berean Church, like it says in Corinthians, when they come in, they will fall down upon their knees and they will say, God is in you of a truth. He is in your midst. That is what we want. That is what we desire. Is that Jesus Christ is in our presence and we are in his presence. And it's seen, it's acknowledged, it is experienced, and it is known beyond a shadow of a doubt. Why'd you come here today? Did you come here to hear me preach? I don't think so, because most of you didn't even know I was going to preach. So you're stuck. Sorry about that. You know. What'd you come here for? I came here because I wanted to meet with God. That's why. It's not because I see every one of you every day and I just want to be with you more and more. Okay? But although that's true, but it's because I want to meet with God. And we have that wonderful privilege of doing that as we fellowship together. Okay? Look with me here. Well, first, in Hebrews 12, it talks about what we have come to. It says we've come to Mount Zion. We've come to a heavenly Jerusalem. We've come to the city of God. And then it says we've come to the general assembly of God's people. That's what this is. And we've come to an innumerable amount of angels, and we have come to Jesus Christ. That's what we do when we fellowship. And we all have a part in that. We all have something to give to that. Each one of us is to supply. We are body of Christ. And that is what we are to represent. And then we see in chapter, this fellowship. Now let's look here in chapter 3, verse. Chapter 3 tells us that this fellowship, this body, this church, is to show forth the glories of God. It is to be a witness to the man, to men, and to the heavenlies. Okay? Look there in verse 9 of chapter 3 of Ephesians. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, created all things by Jesus Christ. Now there's a lot to this, but look at verse 10. To the intent that now unto what? Principalities and powers where? In heavenly places might be known by who? The church. That's us. In other words, there's powers and principalities in heavenly high places. God wants to make known his manifold wisdom. And that manifold wisdom is in his Son, Jesus Christ. We are to express Jesus Christ as we come and as we represent and we fellowship together. Period. That's it. Nothing more. It doesn't matter what color the carpet is. Did you know that? Doesn't matter what color the walls are. It matters if Jesus Christ is in our midst. That is what we want. That is what we come for. That is what we desire. That is what we are striving for. That is the eternal purpose. And look what it says there in verse 11. According to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, did you know something? This fellowship has a purpose. And it says here that it's according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus. We are here to fellowship with Jesus Christ, and there's that eternal purpose that he has for us. And that's a different story, okay? That's a different thing. But look with me here in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, it says here, 1 Peter 2, it says there in verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people," it's true, "that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That's what we want. That's who we are. We're stones built upon one another. We are parts of the body that need each other to show forth his glory. And we see there our involvement, the involvement of everybody. Ephesians 3, look what it says there in verse 17, 18, and 19. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with" who? "All saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." So God, our involvement here is with one another. And our involvement brings about what? The breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of God. What is supposed to be our characteristic toward one another? "You shall know them by" what? "Their love for one another." We will not and we cannot understand and know and come to the depths of the love of God on our own. How can you learn to love someone if you're not around them? God wants us to learn his love for one another. Community, fellowship, and the marriage is just that. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But I wanted to lay this groundwork here. But then we see in Ephesians chapter 4, look what he says us. We're all involved in this. Verse 7, "But unto every one of us is given" what? "Grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Grace has been given to each one of us. Now, I don't know about you, but I need God's grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Paul says, "I am what I am by the grace of God." The only thing. And what God has done here is he says he's given it to every one of us. Now there's a list of different responsibilities in the church that he goes through here. But I want to suggest God's given grace for each one of us. Why? Verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And then verse 15 and 16, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." It is to bring us to maturity, to grow up into the love of Christ. We need one another. Period. We need one another. So we need to get past our differences and our petty little things and our disagreements and things that happen. That's just what happens in a family. I come from a family of 11 children. What do you think happened in our house? Problems. My mother was she was a problem solver. Okay. And we need to get past that and see what God's doing in our midst. And he's doing it with each one of us. Okay? Ephesians 4, verse 1 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you have been called." God has called us to something, a vocation, our service to him in the place that we are at. The last three chapters of Ephesians gets very practical of how the church is to live here upon the earth. One of those is the marriage example, chapter 4. This relationship, chapter 4 brings us to a very specific purpose of the marriage relationship. This relationship is to bear witness and testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. representing Christ and the church. I wanted to share all that with you before this because we need to see we're involved in something that is much bigger than me, myself, and I. It has to do with our fellowship with God and our fellowship with one another. We are here to represent Jesus Christ and Him alone. And we want to bear witness to that. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, there's a whole list of things in light of how God wants the church to live and to act in chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6, and chapter 4. This particular portion singles out the marriage relationship. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so that the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. And by the way, that's what God's doing also in our midst. He's preparing us for a day of presentation. In Colossians, it talks about we will present it. In the book of Revelation, it talks about how the bride of Christ is going to be presented to him. It's a wonderful picture, okay? Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that but should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Everyone is needed in this gathering of believers, so that we may give witness and show testimony to the body of Christ. We have a responsibility in the house of God, in the church, in the body of Christ. Marriage today is under attack. There is a distortion in our society, and it's a terrible distortion. Romans 1 says that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And speaking of homosexuality there, that is unnatural and is against God's divine creation. Marriage is one man, one woman, period. And we have all the transgender stuff too, which is just goes into a whole different category of mixed up thinking and a distortion of what God has created. He says he's created us after his own image. Man today, in the age that we live in, has distorted that and is continuing to move in that direction. And I don't know where it's going to end. I do know it's going to end when the Lord comes back. Marriages are failing. The world, with its self-helps, are not working. We have divorce after divorce after divorce. And they're not only just the first divorce, they're the second divorce and the third divorce. And then we have men and women, they don't want to get divorced, so they just live with someone. It's not the plan of God. Not the plan of God at all. And the church has failed in many ways in this marriage situation all. We all know people that have been divorced. And the pain and the suffering and the anguish that it brings to them and to their family and to their families and extended families. It's not the plan of God. Not at all. There's no plan B with marriage. Did you know that? Plan A. Period. God has the answer. We need good, godly examples of marriage in this gathering, in this community, in this state, in this nation. Threefold Cord Ministries is a ministry designed to bring us back to the purpose and privilege of marriage, to incorporate godly principles, values, and perspectives within our marriages. This is no way an exhaustive course in marriage, but simply to give encouragement, challenge, exhortation, so that we are in pursuit of godly marriages. We are going to begin a series of messages in light of marriage. 5 meetings. 5 meeting times throughout the next 3 months. And I'm going to give you a short breakdown very quickly of what we're going to cover. First one, we call it the unbreakable cord in marriage, or the single most important aspect of our marriages, and that is to maintain and commitment to my personal walk with God. You know what I've found with people over the years, talking to them? People have all kinds of issues today. I do. Just ask my wife, my kids. You know, they'll agree. They'll give you a hearty amen. My dad's not perfect. My husband's not. But you know what I've found? It's like Keith touched on it earlier. Is you have a situation, a problem that arises out of someone's life, generally it's because their walk with the Lord is not strong. We don't have strong marriages because we don't have strong walks with the Lord. And that's what we need today. So this first message is going to be about our walk with the Lord. The fundamental and foundational day-to-day elements of walking with God. What does this look like? What does it look like? Scripturally, biblical, walking with God, what does it look like? We're going to do, it's going to be fivefold. The practicality of it is fivefold. We'll get into that, Acts chapter 2, okay? The navigators came up with a great discipling thing, and you know, it's great. It's right in there. It's 5 different elements we're going to talk about. Commitment, our time, distractions and excuses, faithfulness developed. The outcome of our walk with the Lord is the voice of God, the will of God, and it is obedience to God. So this is the first thing we're going to talk about. If you don't walk with the Lord, you're not going to have one, you will not want to have a godly marriage. You will want some marriage that is 50-50. Or you do what you do, I do what I do, and we'll try to meet somewhere in the middle. Marriage is not 50-50, it's 100%. And I told somebody this morning, I jumped off into the deep end 36 years ago, going on 37, and I'm still there. Okay? There's no turning back when I jumped in. 100%. And that 100% needs to be our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will make your marriage work. And He will make it strong and godly. And He will be an example. The second lecture, we're going to talk about the purpose and the roles of marriage. We touched a little bit about the purpose, but there's much more there. The purpose, the expression of Christ, companionship, the next generation, the roles, God's will, God's appointed roles. I'm just going to put a sidelight in here. God has appointed roles for the husband and for the wife. They are not optional. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say, this is optional to love your wife. Nowhere does it say that. It says, do it. And it is not dependent upon if your wife does or doesn't do what she's supposed to do. We are to stand before God for our roles in marriage. And we will stand before God. And it doesn't matter how the other one treats you or doesn't treat you. You still have that responsibility because God gave the roles. They're not optional. They're what God wants. He has roles for men and for women. Okay? And He gives the provision for that. So we're going to talk about those things. All right. And then we're going to talk about the conflict against and in marriage. There's attack on marriage today. The society we live in is distorted and it's incorrect thinking. God has a plan. He has a design. The commitment is unto death. We're going to talk about divorce and remarriage, the conflict within marriage. And this I call addressing and working through issues. I don't know, you guys ever have problems with one another? Nobody told me what my first year of marriage was going to be like. But I have labeled it. World War III. That's what it was, for me anyway. Some people, first year of marriage is just bliss. I'm going, okay, where'd you come from? But ours was World War III, because we had two wills now living with each other, a strong will and a strong will. But I knew one thing, and I had this, I don't know why I had it, and I still have it. I want to have a good marriage, and I want our marriage to represent Jesus Christ, and I don't know what I'm doing, but that's what I want. And I'm sure I created a lot more problems than we needed. Okay. But marriage isn't easy. You will have conflicts. And that's what we're going to talk about. Addressing and working through the issues. Identifying the problem. Singling it out. Learn to attack the issue. Not one another. If I was on the campus somewhere, I would call this Marriage 101, and I would call it, We Are Not Enemies. We are not enemies. You may feel like it. You may feel like throwing something at your spouse someday or kicking it, whatever. But we are not enemies. We need to know that. We need to see it. We're going to talk about that. One problem at a time. You know what? I wasn't real good at this all the time. I'd have a whole list of things. One problem at a time is a good way to go. All right? We're going to learn how to negotiate and pray together. Okay? Fourth session, we're going to talk about the stewardships of marriage. Our time and our resources. Do you know one of the major problems marriages have? Money. Possessions. There's a way to get around that. We're going to talk about it. I call it the liberating perspective. Everything is God's. We are stewards, and He has entrusted to us. The outward perspective, selfless living to serve. Decisions to be made, praying, communicating, wholehearted, the responsibility of the husband. And in this section, we're going to talk about our involvement with the church. We are family. We are witnesses to Jesus. We have gifts from God. We are to be involved. There are times where I've seen young couples, they get married, and they're serving the Lord, and then they get married and they disappear. Because now they have what they've wanted all their life, is a spouse. But has taken them out of the church of God. It's taken them out of being involved with God's people. And that is not what God wants. God wants us involved. We need one another, and we need marriages. The fifth session is going to be a review. We may have a guest speaker. We may go over some things we've talked about, learned. We may even have another topic. That's up to Keith. I'm sorry, Keith. Yeah. It's true. I have not. The guy's thrown me under the bus a couple times already, so that's good. All right. Marriage is a privilege. It is a responsibility. It is to be maintained. It is to be according to God's design. We have an opportunity to strengthen our marriages in this place. Am I willing to get involved and make commitments to God, to each other, and to fellowship? I'm here today, this morning, to invite each one of you couples to participate in this endeavor. I'm here to challenge you to get involved. I'm here to challenge you to make the time. And don't be sitting here going, well, this would be good for that couple. Yeah, it would be. But it would be good for me too. Just reviewing these things, my heart is struck and it's pricked. And it's saying, Dave, you need a little extra, you need help here. You need help, and I've been married 36 years. Okay, we all need help. I'm here to solicit to you, to sell this to you, to present it to you, to beg you, to urge you, to plead with you, to barter with you, to whatever I have to do to get you to be involved in this endeavor. And if I talk to you, I'm going to go, why not? You'll get that from me, I promise. Why not? God puts it upon my heart to talk to you about being involved. I'll ask you that question. Because these are the things we need. So what I'd like to do now, if we could, is ask Paul, Matthew, and Keith to come down, and we're going to pray for this ministry.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for your word. We thank you for the truth that your word contains. We thank you for the reminder of why we're here. And Lord, I do just pray that each one of us would walk worthy of that calling that you have placed upon us. Help us to walk worthy in our jobs. Help us to walk worthy in our families, in our relationships. And Lord, for those of us that are married, help us to walk worthy in that marriage relationship. We're just so thankful that your word is truth. It never changes, even though the world and the culture all around us does. We thank you that we can come back to your word for truth that never changes and put us back on the right path. So we just pray that you would bless this endeavor. We pray that you would bless each person here and each couple here. And Lord, may we live for your glory.
Amen.
God, we... It's a lot easier for us to look around at the world and see what's wrong with it. We can decry the state of marriage in our nation and in the world and in the people around us, but you don't hold us accountable for that. You hold us accountable for our own lives and our own marriages. And we know that when we see that you call marriage a picture of Christ's love for the church, that we all fall so far short of that. And then the only way we can begin to live out the marriage that you've called us to is by your grace. So just pray for each of us who are married to be challenged this morning to lean into you and to recognize that we need you to do a miracle in our lives and our marriages to be the husbands and wives you've called us to be. I pray for those that aren't married, Lord, that you would cause them to lean into you. God, your word says that for those that don't need it, it's better not to be married. And I know that I need to be married because I need my wife as a channel of grace. But for those that aren't married, you can pour grace directly into their lives to develop these same character traits, these same attitudes of dependence and humility and sacrifice. So I pray that each of us would seek that. For those that are married, we know that our spouse is a primary means of that. For those that aren't, Lord, I pray that you would bring avenues of your grace for that transforming power, because we know it's all about us becoming more like Jesus. So we ask that.
Our gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that you have not left us, you've not forsaken us. We thank you that you have a plan for each one of us. Your thoughts toward us are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end. We thank you for this body of believers, this fellowship here in this building. We thank you for each individual, each person here. And now, Lord, we ask that you would give us that overwhelming desire and that burden to be a witness and to be a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would come and we would stand for you, that we would want you in our midst, that we would want to know you, to see you, to hear from you. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to love one another, that we would grow up into that love. And Father in heaven, we pray for each couple here today and each couple in the Berean Fellowship. We ask, O Lord, that you would stir within our hearts, that you would give us that consuming desire and that pursuit and that burden to be a godly example, to be a godly couple. And Lord, we know that your way works, and it works beyond any kind of form or system that the world has. We ask, O Lord, for this ministry, for your leading, for your guiding, for your anointing. We ask, O Lord, that you would cause it to go where you want it to go. And Lord, we pray for grace. We ask, Lord, that you would undertake in every way and do above and beyond what we could even think or ask. We commit our lives into your hands, and every person, every joint in this place that supplies, we give it into your hands and everyone. We bless you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Father, we are mindful that marriage is important to you. You invented it. You gave your blessing to it. Jesus even did his first miracle at a wedding. I think part of that was just to remind us that it's still important to you. We know, Lord, that none of us have arrived, that you are still molding and making us into what you want us to be as individuals and as couples. And we do pray for your blessing and guidance in this ministry. We pray that you would lead the right couples to be involved, that you give Keith and Dave real wisdom, and Audrey and Marcia as well, as they help spearhead this launch. They have some things to figure out, as Keith has already admitted, and I pray that you just give them wisdom, and that these would be really times of building up the body of Christ for your glory. And Lord, you know the hurt and the challenge of each individual here. We know there might be some marriages struggling, even represented here today. Lord, I pray that this would bring renewed hope and encouragement, because we know your truth is what can change and set us free. So we do pray for that. So may you continue to be honored and glorified through this ministry and through every aspect of our church, we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.